Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you could save a bundle. All you got to do is call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS and get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
So happy Friday. We are rocking and rolling. We got a big night of NBA games. We have another big day of what's next for Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. WandaVision is steaming towards the finale a week from today. I mean, we have some big stuff we're dealing with here on a Friday night, Mike Harmon. Big, big stuff.
We get towards the end of February. So much heating up. Everybody all excited. Yesterday, sky was falling. The Grizzlies beat the Clippers. And then, well, they're just returning the favor. Today, we've got Lakers and everybody mindless MVP talk all around the globe. And of course, you know, Tiger updates, WandaVision. I was up late. I made beignets. Oh, and they were delicious. And
now,
nice.
Did you and Maddie wake up again at midnight? Did you wake her up again at midnight to watch WandaVision?
Well, she was away. She never went to bed. She was up working on a project. And as you know, I mean, I just finished the show, so I'm all wound up. Started cranking some music and heating some oil and rolling dough. It was beautiful.
Wow, you were heating up. I was heating up. That's something I expect you to do like when you're home, like by yourself. Yeah, I'm heating some oil up, man. You never know what could happen.
I would hope not by myself.
We are ready
but
to go.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Well, like you're waiting for someone to come over. Like you're
oh,
you're,
yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah,
look, whichever way works, however you celebrate your alone time out there across America. I mean, I don't judge.
Yeah.
As long as everybody's in on the game, hey, have at it.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a sitcom that, you know, there's the flight attendant next door who you are always hoping to impress, you know, with your cooking, the smells wafting and all these kind of, and it, you know, she looks like Kaylee Cuoco maybe from the flight attendant. I don't know. I'm just picturing that you're saying, hey, yeah, it's just what goes through my head a little bit. That's all.
Okay, and then today I made some brisket queso. So, I mean, I am just killing it heading into a Friday night. And so, you got some Cuoco in, too. So
yeah, we got Kaylee Cuoco. I know it's hard. It's with
Cuoco.
The U in there.
I said Cuoco.
Kaylee Cuoco. Man. So
wow.
I have
not heard that song in 25 years, and I'd like to keep it that way.
You made it sound like it was Ico Ico. Cuoco.
No,
yeah, it's pretty
did.
Good. No, you did. You made me sound like that's – I thought you said I'm all right, Spider. You said Spider. No, when you said that, you got me going with that.
Oh, okay.
That's where it was.
Well, I'm all right. I'm all right, Spider. Watching the vast world, yeah. No, so, no question. Of the NBA. Yeah, exactly.
In a few minutes, we got Dame and LeBron, the marquee game of the night, Blazers and Lakers. They'll start a little bit late because, you know, we still have to sit through the end of Boston and Indiana. This is a three-point game with just under a minute left to go. There's a lot of that this year, Mike. There's a lot of that we got to sit through. NBA. We got some games we got to sit through. But we do have the big one coming up next. And clearly the NBA, hey, a big sobering story today for, hey, look at the Nets. Kevin Durant is not going to play at least until after the All-Star break. Steve Nash making the announcement today that KD, who was going to be back in a few days with a left hamstring strain now, is going to be out until after the All-Star break. Clearly, the Nets can afford to do it now. The regular season, look, everybody stinks. Everybody's 500. They can beat teams without him, so there's no need to rush him back. But when he said today, Kevin will be back this season. You know, when he comes back, he'll be able to come back. Whoa, he'll be back this season. You know, it's not like we're near the end of the season. Like, hey, he'll be back. You know, there's 15 games left to go. He'll be back with about 7 or 8 to go and be able to get back in shape. I mean, we are still just about at the halfway point to hear he'll be back this season. I mean, the big three have only played, I think, 8 games together so far since
the trade of James Harden. Yeah, you're getting the under.
I'm getting my my under 50. They could win the title, go through all the playoffs, and they still might not play 50 games together. I might get the under of my under 50 games total, the three of them play, and they could win the title doing it. It's amazing I'm going to win that way.
Well, that's the beauty of it, though, is that you can say, can he go tonight if he had to? Probably. Does he have to? Nope. See you after the All-Star break, everybody. Hey, good night. Name some alternates, get a couple of guys a thrill, and move on. And look, that's what I read into this more than anything, is like, do we need him? No. Okay, bye. I mean, nobody's running away and hiding in the Eastern Conference. So if you're at all in, 80, 90%, and you have the luxury of Harden and Kyrie Irving to lead you, sit down. Let it rest. I mean, there's no reason to push it at this stage of the regular season. As we've talked about all along, even if you lopped off 10 games off the bat, it doesn't matter. It's still too long. And you still have a long stretch for folks to just say, hey, resting, presumed having a good time. And for Kevin Durant, maybe he's looking into, what he purchased as part of that group that bought into Golden Auctions. I don't know. Maybe he's making some bids on some rare sports memorabilia during his time off.
Look, LeBron makes records. LeBron makes – no one makes records anymore. Hey, these guys made a record. It's really good. We're going to drop it off on Friday. LeBron makes songs. Maybe that's what KD is doing. Getting that downtime in the middle of the season. Kyrie had his personal time the beginning of the – KD's got his personal time now. Maybe James Harden will take personal time later on. Maybe it's just like regular work for us where, hey, listen, you got to get your vacation in because we can't have too many people on vacation the same week. So whoever gets it in first, you gets to take it. And then if you want to take the same week as somebody else, if they've already put in for it, you have to pick another week. I'm sorry, that's how we're going to do it. That's the fairest way to everybody working here. And maybe the NBA and the Nets work just like that, just like how we all work in the rest of our lives. Well, I got too many people gone that week. I can't give you the week off.
That sounds familiar. that's all of the working world. Everybody across America just went, that's right. And that's how it's, it equates back to me. Because you're always trying to figure out a way. How do you make the lives and lifestyles of players, executives, team owners to that matter, how best to equate them and put them in the same shoes as their paying audience? And you just did it right there. Hey, you guys can't be off at the same time. And if you're both on a nationally televised game, you're going to have to play rock, paper, scissors. We'll have best of three. Someone will record it for posterity, but it'll never be shown. But that's how we decide which one of the stars gets to take a night off. Everybody be well. We'll see you on the other side.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. So, look, today was a day where we had more updates on Russell Wilson, more on Deshaun Watson. And coming up in a few minutes, we're going to do something a little bit different when it comes to Russell Wilson, get a lot more teams involved in this situation. But two things happened today regarding Deshaun Watson. The big one is that he is okay with missing games this season. He has said, I don't want to play here. I will miss games and I will sit out. I don't know what it is, Mike. I don't know what I need to keep telling people. He's not going to play for them again. I've been saying it from the beginning, and the Texans still want to sit back and say, yeah, we're not going to trade you. We're not going to give you what you want to. We're going to make it adversarial. I mean, really, I can't believe there's any way Deshaun Watson, even if he would come back, because they've done nothing to make it seem like, okay, let's put out an olive branch. Let's see what he's mad about. We got to keep our stars happy. But again, like I've said, when you have a basically rookie owner, you have a rookie GM, you have a rookie head coach, they have no idea how to handle the situation. They have no idea how to handle Deshaun Watson wanting out after all of these things. And they're going to sit and they're going to ruin his value in a trade when they let him sit for so long. So much so that the other part of this story is apparently teams are saying they're leaving voicemails with trade offers.
Yeah.
They're not even answering the phone now. Not calling anybody back. You have to leave a voicemail. I mean, that's insane.
Hi, this is Joe Douglas calling for Jack Easterby. I think I hit the right button. It was 245. Listen, we'd like to offer you three first-round picks, a second-round pick, and, if you want to know who the player will give you is, you got to call me back. That's area code 212-585-JETS. That's 212-585-JETS. Again, this is Joe Douglas. Beep. Oh, Do you think it beeped? Do you think it got my
whole
number?
Wow, you gave them an area code in the city, too.
Did it? I don't know. That beep went off before I think before I gave my whole number. Let me call back again. Hey, Joe Douglas again. Sorry, I think I got cut off right before the end there. But I want to say again, you know, it's the three firsts, you know, including the number two pick. It's a second round pick. And we'll give you a good defensive starter. We have a couple of guys out, but please call me back. 212-585-2. Beep. I don't think I got that through again.
And it's just like Swingers when he keeps calling to leave the message because it's beeping. How childish is this? We're letting calls go to voicemail. I mean, it's not just about Deshaun Watson. I mean, this is showing you we don't know how to run a team. We're going to sit here in the corner and hold our breath until we get what we want. You know, eventually the Texans are going to want a player from somebody when they become available, and they're going to want to make a phone call, and they're going to other teams are going to answer the phone. Joe Douglas is going to say, "Hey, Joe Douglas, New York Jets. Hey, this is Jack Easterby. I'm sorry, you've reached my cell phone. Please leave a message at the beep." Beep. That's you, Joe. I know it was you. You answered the phone. Beep. No, come on. Wait. Beep. I mean, this is what the Texans are doing now. It's like high school. You know, now we're not calling back. We're going to allow people to leave voicemails. You know what? You call teams back when they call, right? That's how business is done in the NFL. But again, like I said, you have basic rookies everywhere at the three big levels where you don't need rookies at. You know, you have at ownership, you have a guy in Jack Easterby that nobody likes, right? You have a new GM, you have a new head coach, and it's, okay, I don't understand what they're doing. So this is just not only bad for Deshaun Watson, this is bad. This shows you the Texans, really? Do you have any confidence they know what they're doing? They know how to handle a big situation like this in the National Football League? I mean, look, when Sarri was with the Patriots, it was Belichick said, yeah, I got it, don't worry. And it would work out. Right, it worked out. But we want to keep Tom. No, we're trading him. Oh, okay, I guess we're trading Tom Brady, or we're not re-signing Tom Brady. I mean, this is the quintessential example of how to ruin things, you know, before your season begins by not knowing how to act. I mean, that's what the Texans are doing.
Well, they've basically cut David Culley off at the knees, because he's a guy that comes in obviously excited to get the job, and everybody had to do the rush for the CV to know who he was. You had some of the rhetoric started being about minority hiring, and it's like, you really don't know who David Culley is. That's what you're exposing here. You didn't do the cursory two Google searches before you started ranting about things. But they gave him no opportunity here. Right? They cut him off at the knees with bad efforts from this Easterby guy, whatever you believe, out of the big profiles that have been there. Clearly nobody wants to deal with them. I've joked about it this week, all the restaurants that have the anybody but him, so a guy can't even go get himself a sandwich. And then there's so many stories coming out about, you know, looking at Cal McNair and basically calling him Tommy Boy time and time again, you know, owing to the fact that he had an office that basically he was playing video games and had no desk and all these other details, and you're just throwing your hands up. But I have a conspiracy theory for you.
Ooh, I like that. Go ahead.
Nobody's getting a call back. You ready?
Okay.
All calls are still being forwarded to Bill O'Brien's cell phone because nobody knew how to fix it. That's how new they are at all of this stuff, that it's still going to Trader Bill's phone.
And Bill's making deals with everybody. Hey, you know what? Hey, I just got a phone call. It's awesome, right? I got a phone call from the Seattle Seahawks about a swap of Watson for Wilson. Watch this. I'm going to call him back and tell him it's done. Hey, yeah, you guys, great, done. You know, you want to put the paperwork together, fax it over, and we'll get it out. We'll get it to the league at 5 o'clock today. Great. Hey, guess what I'm going to do? I got another call from the Jets coming in. Oh, wait till you see what I tell them then. Oh, my goodness, yeah. I'm going to do a deal with them, too. We'll see who winds up announcing it first. No, I could easily see that happening, and Bill O'Brien getting his revenge on the team that he screwed over so badly, which is not really revenge. It's just him screwing the team over again. I completely see that happening.
Yeah, no, this has hit a whole other level. We talk about clown shows. We talk about organizations doing things wrong. Just even remember with Bill O'Brien, the coach, before he assumed absolute power and seemed like he was going to be there for a long run, was the fact that they were winning division titles with regularity. right? This was a playoff team. This was the playoff team that got absolutely boat raced after getting out to a 24-point lead. Folks shouldn't forget that. That's not that long ago, right? They had the opportunity to kill the Patrick Mahomes, quote-unquote, dynastic era before it even started. Oh, yeah, and then it only went 1 year before it got upended and they lost. But they got back, so good for them. But the point being that Bill O'Brien and his squad should have been able to finish that job and never had a whole narrative pop up, but everything was running well to where you were a perennial contender in that division. It was yours with the occasional challenge from the other three teams, and now you're in an absolute free fall, making all organizations, including the Jets, look functional.
Let the circus, let the Texans, circus, Texans, Turkus, Texans, Deshaun, 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 Deshaun. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Yeah, it's Friday. It's one of those nights, right? Friday's one of those nights where it's like, look, I don't care. No, Friday just always seems to be one of those different nights. But yes, the childishness of the Texans is clearly on display. Fox Sports Radio live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You can save a bundle on your auto insurance. Coming up next, as we tip off at Staples Center between the Lakers and the Blazers, day two of Russell Wilson, right? We know Russell Wilson wanted to be traded to four specific teams. What teams can make the best offer that the Seahawks would jump at? We have a bunch lined up right away that these trades, they could happen tomorrow if these teams would call to get Russell Wilson from the Seahawks. What are they? It's coming up next, and don't play Cleveland. We're not doing Cleveland.
Cleveland!
I like how you took the music out to do it, too, Tyshirt. That's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Circle Fire Insurance, exchanges are affiliate. Products not available in every state.
To quote the great Marv Albert, not exactly the start the Lakers had in mind. Right now, 8:21 to go in the first quarter. The Lakers have 2 points. The Blazers have 12. The Blazers have hit the ground running in this one. Again, a 10-point lead, and the Lakers have 2 points in the first 4 minutes of this game. It has not been a great start, but still, again, it is early. But, boy, when you look at what the Lakers have done or not done the last few nights, you see this start, you go, well, same old song, right? Same stuff's going to happen. Here it is, Blazers, Lakers. Yep. This is what we got. It's what's going to be. It's going to be 141-37. There's your final score. Blazers win it, and they improve to 19-13. So it is early, but the Lakers trail. Again, it is 12-2. The Lakers are on pace for. Let me get this right. Hang on. They are on pace for. They are on pace for 32 points tonight. 32 points tonight. 8 points a quarter, 32 points.
That's well, there goes the MVP. Now. Let's do 3 hours on that.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But and, you know, look, LeBron may score 30 of those 32, but this clearly is not the start that the Lakers had in mind. Though, good news, though, they did get Dennis Schroeder back, so at least he is playing for them tonight.
He's
back in his starting spot. So, in theory, this is not a game where Damian Lillard's going to go for 60, but, hey, you know, you never know.
Well, they did just score. I mean, they're up to four now.
They did. They double. Well, look, listen, they're good for 2 points every 4 minutes. I mean, look, 2 points every 4 minutes works, Mike. I mean, that's kind of what
that's
they're averaging
base.
Right now. Before we get into Russell Wilson, I got a tweet I want to read about Deshaun Watson that really just
tells you that it's all about leverage, and the Texans don't understand, right? We talked before about how the Texans are not even answering the phone. They're letting phone calls from other teams go to voicemail now because they're, you know, they're 5 years old and they want to watch TV and have their blanket too. Kirk says, you know, Jason, I'd argue that Watson's being childish, and if I'm not selling my car, I'm not answering phone calls about buying it. Well, true, but they're going to have to sell this car. If he's not going to play, and he's not going to play, he's not going back. He can't go back after all of this. He can't go back. We got to this a lot last night. He can't go back after all of this. I'm not playing here again. He can't go back and suddenly say it's okay. They'll never listen to him again. He's got a lot of pride. He wants out. He has made up his mind. The Texans think they have leverage. And that's where we go in this story, that they don't understand that they don't have the leverage. And I hear many people that I respect on sports talk radio TV going, if the Texans don't want to trade him, they're not going to trade him. Yeah, okay. I live in the real world where I know if Deshaun Watson doesn't show up and he's holding out into training camp and into the regular season, you're going to trade him. You're going to trade him at some point, and then you're going to get less value for him because the team's going to have him for less of a year. You're not going to get two first, two seconds, and two starting players. You're not going to get that. And the Texans still think they have the leverage when, as we have seen in the world of sports, if you are a superstar, you have all the leverage no matter what your contract says, no matter what how long you're signed for, you have the leverage. If you're not a star player, no, then you don't have the leverage. But if you're a star player and you've made money, you have all the leverage. Deshaun Watson has all the leverage. It's really that simple. And I don't get why the Texans, people think the Texans have a choice in this matter. You're going to have to sell that car.
Well, they do in theory, but it eventually comes to a grisly end. Right. They're not going to hamstring themselves by having him there forever and having this remain a story. I mean, that's a PR nightmare. You want to start seeing big time contributors to the program through skyboxes, advertising and everything else disappear. That's how you do it. Sure, you'll get your 1/32nd of the league revenue that flows through, but all that local money, they'll go put it somewhere else. They might already be thinking about it just by the clown show that it's been thus far. But certainly, you want to play hardball deep into a season, that's going to do it. For Deshaun Watson, it's simple. You know, eventually, it gets to the, all right, let's fight over the signing bonus money if it gets to be the holdout part of things. And that's where the fight really begins. And he did a great job of setting himself up. If he was undecided, got the money, got the guarantees, made whatever money, right? If his money's been invested well since September, markets for the most part have been up pretty well, so he probably made a few million dollars in terms of investments off of the signing bonus cash. But you can get back and just say, all right, I'll return this chunk, and away you go. But for the Texans, you still have to run your organization. You still have to try to remain somewhat credible in this process. So holding out, yes, I like it in theory. Yes, you signed a contract, honor your contract. However, we recognize that this is not 1970s NFL anymore. It's a different world. It is a different time and place of negotiations and gives, and eventually they'll bow to the pressure. The key is not to be too long on this quarterback carousel that we always talk about, because eventually there's going to be fewer seats, and they're just going to wave at you going, all right, you ready yet? Are you ready yet? And maybe they'll actually get Bill O'Brien's cell phone or his burner or whatever it is, and they'll be able to return those calls and just say, what do you got? How do I still get some kind of return here? Because we're in trouble.
You got that call? We got that the call's coming in. The call's, it's coming in. I promise you it's coming in. So there you go. We'll have more on Deshaun Watson coming up. But clearly, I mean, eventually the light's going to go on for the Texans, and that's how it's going to go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So yesterday, Russell Wilson said, listen, I'm good playing in Seattle, but these four teams I would like a trade to. If you wanted to trade me, yeah. Okay. Now today, let's flip it around a bit, and let's talk about the teams that can make big trades for Russell Wilson, right? For you, Russell Wilson said, I want Dallas, I want New Orleans. I completely understand those teams. He also said, I want the Raiders and the Bears, which I really don't understand. But we got into that yesterday.
I explained it to you yesterday.
Yeah.
No, people can go find that on the podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. Mike made a nice, cogent, nicely laid out. I mean, it was just a thing of beauty responding to your hate.
No, but you also said Ryan Pace genius. I mean, that was a line in there you had, and I don't know that. I think all the good you said, I think that kind of balanced it out a bit.
No. The point was that you selective listening by you.
The point was
that at some point people had declared Matt Nagy a genius. Pay attention.
Oh. Matt Nagy was a genius.
So this would be
the
opportunity. Nobody ever declared Ryan Pace a genius. The only thing I did was they did 3 years ago when he got hired. Oh, he's the next guy. This guy's going to do wonders for the Bears. Hey, two playoff berths. But with Ryan Pace, I defended him. But I defended him when they made the deal to go get Trubisky, saying, all right, if that's your guy, you live and die by that. And evidently, the Bears haven't learned anything through their years because, well, they still give guys second, third, eighth chances to keep making mistakes. So we'll see. If he's able to pull off a deal that brings Russell Wilson to town, he could do that Ric Flair strut all along Lakeshore Drive and be celebrated from the Gold Coast all the way to the deep south side.
And the good news is the Bears get Russell Wilson. Here's the downside. Their next first-round pick is in 2041. Good luck, everybody. Even Bobby Bonilla will have stopped getting paid by then. All right, so if that's the case, right, those are the teams Russell Wilson wanted to go to. Who can make the best cases for him? Now, last night we told you clearly what could get it done right away. If he wants the Raiders, Derek Carr and 3 first-round picks. Right, because Seattle gave you could think, okay, well, with Derek Carr, maybe you don't need 3 first round picks, but remember, Seattle gave up 2 for Jamal Adams. So there's no way whatever trade comes in, they are taking less than 3 for Russell Wilson. Right? So that no matter what, you gotta start with 3 first round picks. There's no scenario where you're gonna wind up giving enough players where they'll say, oh, we'll take 1 less first round pick. So it's gonna be 3 first. So we told you last night, Derek Carr and 3 first round picks, that'll work. The Raiders get Russell Wilson and the Seahawks get 3 first round picks. They get a quarterback they can play where they can transition to running the football more. Derek Carr likes to throw the ball 4 yards down the field at a time. So this trade would work for both teams, right? Here's some other trades that work. I'm hitting you with a big one right off the bat.
Let's go.
I got a straight up trade for you. I got a straight up trade that will work. You ready? Russell Wilson for Dak Prescott. That's where you don't need the picks. You don't need the picks because you are getting a very good quarterback who is a lot younger. You're signing him to big money, but you know you're paying Russell Wilson big money, so it's okay. You would like to say maybe we can get a little bit more. No, you're getting a younger quarterback that's pretty good, that you know, until he got hurt, was coming off a big season, and you are ridding yourself of a guy that you want to trade away. All right, Russell Wilson's going to be 34. Look, does he have 5 or 6 good years left in the NFL? Sure he does. The nano bubbles are working great for him. But Dak is still almost 10 years younger, and he's someone that if you make that trade, you don't even need to do the 3 first-round picks. Well, we're getting a really good quarterback. We're signing him. Jerry Jones would love to say, listen, we love Dak. Dak allowed me to get Russell Wilson. That was the plan all along, drafting Dak and holding on to him and not signing him because I knew Russell Wilson would shake loose. So that was my whole plan 4 years ago when we started negotiations on a new contract. This is year 5 of the negotiations of his new deal. This is all what I wanted to do the whole time. I go, that's something that could work. Now, the thing is, Dak is not going to be happy because the thing that Dak wants to get paid, I'm not signing, I want this. The minute he gets traded, he's going to go, oh, I'm not playing for the Cowboys anymore. People aren't going to be talking about me like they used to. I'm not going to be able to get that kind of money again. Whoa, maybe I should have stayed with the Dallas guy. So all this going on, it's going to be a little bit of buyer's remorse for Dak Prescott because the whole time his value is inflated because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys. He's still good, right? He's still very good. And he's still a periphery top 10 quarterback in the NFL, which is great when you're 25 and you can continue to in your mid-20s and you can continue to grow and get better. So this is a trade where you wouldn't need the picks, because the Seahawks would be getting exactly what they want. It's the best player they would get back in return, and the Cowboys don't have to worry about the headache of him. They take the money on with Russell Wilson's contract, but it's not the money that they would have to pay for Dak Prescott. So suddenly they can have this deal, and you can rework it a bit. I'm sure Russell Wilson's going to want a little bit more money, but you're clearly not going to be in for as much money with Dak as you are with Russell Wilson. You can go out and get more players around him. So Dak for Russell Wilson, that works. I mean, that's a gutsy-ass trade, man. That's where you're staying in the pot till the end with a pair of twos when you're thinking the guy across from you has a straight, and you're going, I'm going to stay in. It takes a lot of nerve, but that deal clearly would be enough to get it done straight up, and you wouldn't even need the picks.
Now, this is fun because you have to get a sign and trade to go to make it work, right? Because
they would have to sign him to a $40 million a year deal, which is what Dak wants, and then they would trade him from there. Yes.
Or you get him to sign his franchise tender and go from there. It's an interesting process. I don't know if I'm Dallas. I think I might be loyal to Dak, especially with Jerry Jones basically treating him as a second, third. I don't know how many kids he has. We know about Steven. I haven't really done the deep dive on Jerry Jones's full family. But let's just say he's treated him like a son and talked about him like a son. Hasn't paid him like a son just yet, but I still think there's something in Jerry's mind that if he's going to get it done, he's going to get it with the fourth round because he wants to hold it over other owners that they failed with their first round picks from that draft. See, you had to get rid of him. I still got my guy.
Oh, but I'll tell you that
and he's 10 years younger, like you said, almost. Yeah, nine years.
Listen, yeah, that Dak situation would really settle a lot of things. And it makes too much sense for both sides. You know, if I thought Russell Wilson for a second, right? Let's just say Russell Wilson. For a second, if I thought he could only play another couple of years, I would say, boy, you know, 34, that's tough. But he seems to have that bit of Tom Brady in him where I want to play a long time and I'm going to take care of my body, nano bubbles or whatever the hell else it is. So I have no problem thinking he's going to be an upper tier quarterback for the next 5 or 6 years. So if you're going to get that out of Russell Wilson, hey, you make that trade. Because who knows where Dak's going to be when he's 31, 32. Is he still going to be great? Is he still going to need a big contract? He's still going to be, you don't know where that's going to be. 2 or 3 years, I would say, yeah, no, you need to give me more than that because that's really not going to work. But if it's straight up, because I think Russell Wilson can play that long, absolutely, because he is that guy. Like, Brady's going to play till he's 45. I wouldn't doubt if Russell Wilson has plans to play. I want to play longer than Brady. I wouldn't doubt if he really wanted to do that. But clearly the more realistic expectation of this outsize years, you get to 40, and that's where you can say, all right, I'm okay with getting Russell Wilson in that.
I can tell you this, we're more likely to know what his plans are here in short order than we were even just a month or two ago. Seems really free and loose with his tongue. So we may have more information of his plans, and who knows, before long he might be spitting out diss tracks. I don't know. Mm. It might not be about nano bubbles and being Mr. Unlimited anymore.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studio. So there's a couple of picks right there. The Raiders clearly can make that big offer. We mentioned that. Russell Wilson for Dak Prescott. I don't see how you could say no to it. I really don't. That could absolutely work. We'll have more on the Russell Wilson destinations coming up in a bit. But straight ahead, this is very surprising. Last night we mentioned a guy we probably haven't mentioned on sports talk radio in probably, I don't know, 4 years. I mean, really, I really think that's the last time we really mentioned this guy. And now he's in one of the biggest stories of the night. Shocking. We got that story coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studio. Call Farmers today for a quote. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS and you'll save a bit of something on your auto insurance. So we'll have an update on the Blazers and the Lakers coming up in a few minutes. Blazers lead by 8 with 11 minutes to go before halftime. Still a lot of time to go here. The Lakers have 24. Congratulations. But it was last night we very briefly mentioned Miguel Cabrera. Right. And we talked about, hey, you know, AT&T is selling its stake in DirecTV that it bought, and it's taken a $35 billion bath in this sale. And sure. Suddenly, we said, suddenly the Miguel Cabrera Tigers contract doesn't look so bad. And today, voila, one of the big headlines is Miguel Cabrera says this season with the Tigers, he wants his 500th home run and his 3,000th hit. Now, look, there's bad contracts in Major League Baseball, and then there's Miguel Cabrera's contract. Luckily for the Tigers, they have a buyout, but it's not till after 2023. They're paying him $30 million a year till he's 42, and Cabrera hasn't been good in 5 years. When I say hasn't been good, I mean he can't stay on the field. He is not nearly the Hall of Fame player he was when you get back to 2013, 2014. This is a bad, bad contract. But here's the interesting part of this, is that he'll get to 3,000 hits. He only needs 138 hits, so he'll get there. Maybe he gets there this year. If he stays healthy, he'll get there. If not, he'll clearly get there next. Look, Tigers are paying him, so he's going to play whenever he's out there.
Yeah, currently tied with Baines.
Yeah, he'll get to, and he'll pass Harold Baines, and we'll pour it out in front of the Harold Baines statue in front of old Comiskey for you. He'll get there because he's under contract. He's making $35 million a year. You know, he'll get there. If it's not this year, early next year. Enjoy Miguel Cabrera getting his 3,000th hit, because after that, we may not see somebody get there for at least 20 years. And I say this because there's nobody right now starting their career that's on pace that you could say, this guy's going to get 3,000 hits. All right? The career hits leaders that you have to, that we think could get there look like this, right? You have Miguel Cabrera who's going to get there, right? We're going to see it, and it's going to be a big deal. Then after Miguel Cabrera, you have Robinson Cano, who is 37. He's got 2,600 hits, but he's serving a suspension this year. He's not going to be able to play all year. Is he really going to sign with a team? He's going to play enough to get 400 more hits to get to 3,000. That's probably not happening. So Robinson Cano is your next guy. After that, it's a guy we've talked about a couple of times, Nick Markakis, who's got nearly 2,400 hits. He's 36. I don't think he's going to get the playing time to be able to get to 3,000, right? He was on a nice little pace for a while, but he hasn't played a lot, and the opt-out last year, all these different things. He's clearly fallen off pace because he's 36, and he needs over 600 more hits. After that, you have to go down and say, well, you got Jose Altuve is 31. He's at 1,600. Freddie Freeman is 30. He's at 1,500. These guys are not going to have the next 10 years that you have your first 10 years. It just doesn't happen that way in Major League Baseball. You know, guys aren't going to say, well, he got 1,500 his first 10, his next 10. No, you slow down a lot. And you're also saying you're going to be healthy enough for another 10 years to get there. You think that Freddie Freeman's going to be playing first base for the Braves when he's 40, and Altuve's going to be playing infield when he's 40, 41 years old. And that's it. That's it, Mike. There is nobody else. So we could be 20 years away from the next person to get 3,000 hits after Miguel Cabrera.
You were channeling Almost Famous and you didn't even know it. Mm. You think these guys are going to still be getting 200 hits a year when they're 40 years old, dancing around the plate? No, it's not going to happen. No, I think legitimately this could be the last guy to get there, just based on the way the game has changed, specialization of pitching, right? You don't get to see that guy a third or fourth time where maybe you add an extra hit in the later innings. I think this is a completely different ballgame. Most of the guys you mentioned as you get down the road are 36, 35 years old and still need four or five monster seasons and then need to coast from there. Unless they give us the full DH, then maybe we got a chance. Mike Trout sitting at 28 years old with 1380. That's the guy you're circling. That's a long way. The way he plays.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you can think that he's going to stay healthy that long. I mean, he's been healthy so far, but he's also been, this is the time of his career. This is the time when you get healthy. But the way he plays, he's a bigger kid, and he's going to get nicked up, and it's going to be harder and harder for him to stay in the lineup. And that's a long way to try to extrapolate that Trout's going to get there. I mean, clearly he's talented enough, but boy, getting there? I mean, this might be it. We might be done seeing 300 wins and 3,000 hits for a long, long time after Cabrera. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we get back into a big story out of the NFL. This is Fox Sports Radio.